You know, people ask me how I've been since the incident. I tell them all the same thing. The dice just weren't in my favor. Yeah, he may have put a 6-inch hole in my head. A sentence that was nothing to scoff at. And took my one chance at a normal life. But look at me now. I've got a roof over my head, food to eat, and a dog. I've retired from my life of treachery, and I'm also famous for some reason. He's still nowhere to be seen, and it's also almost been 10 years already. It was still one hell of a journey, and I will never forget it. But hey, I guess everyone just spices the dust every once in a while, right? So, you know, maybe this will help explain everything. At least I hope. It was a Friday night, and I was going to Shax's Ramen to get some ramen. Well, obviously. He's the only person I actually ever will buy something from. It's like a symbiotic relationship. He feeds me ramen, I pay him for it, and I also occasionally do work for him. In return, he gives me food. I guess you can say at the bitter end of the deal, but I mean, he's a respectable guy. The city of Kismet is always described in ads as a luxurious city of green and tourist attractions everywhere. It's like a Los Angeles in the 27th century. It's all lies, though. Hey, you ever see that movie Blade Runner? It came out like 70 years ago. The quality is pretty bad, and so is the audio, but it's a good movie, and yeah, it pretty well describes what the city looks like today. Shax's Ramen was located in what looks like a cul-de-sac. Different stores lined the curve, and in the center was a ramen place. It was a circular bar with bar stools wrapping around it. In the center was all the equipment they used to make the food. There was a roof above this and a large smokestack, and on it was written a large neon sign with the words, Shax's Ramen, the best ramen in town. I lined up for ramen and couldn't really smell it. My mouth watered just to even get a taste of it. It's not expensive, but money is hard to come around here. And I'm only paid every other Friday, and I don't get paid much, but, you know, it works for me. Hey, Marty, what is it this time? I guess this is usual, I'm assuming, through Shax. You know me too well, I said. Alright, well, you know how long it takes. Give me 5 minutes, said Shax. I waited and sat on one of the stools. Shax is a big guy. He's tall and got a bit of a belly, but not too much. He's wearing jeans, a plain white shirt, and an apron with the ramen shop name on it. He's wearing sandals because he's usually too lazy to wear shoes. Here you go, Marty. Nice and warm, just for you, said Shax. I gave him the money and headed to my favorite spot. It was a small apartment building that only went about 5 stories. This was about as high as any building went in the whole city, except for the Azteca Court building. It was like a giant sore thumb in the city. Probably a good 15 stories tall and as bright as the sun. I don't have an actual home, and kind of just roam around the city. I take up on jobs wherever I can, whether they're good or require some dirty work. And when it does, I got my trusty revolver on me at any time. I named her Crimson, you know, for all the dance I got and all the blood I'd seen. I don't visit her often, but when I do, you know I mean business. I took the elevator to the top of the apartment building. There's this little greenhouse up on the top that nobody uses, so I put all my junk up there. I know the landlord, and she doesn't really care I stay up there, as long as I don't disturb the residents. I don't actually live there, it's just a place for me to put stuff and occasionally sleep. I pulled the one key out of my pocket and locked the door to head inside. It wasn't all that big, and I covered the walls to make sure nobody could peek in. In the corner was a power generator that collects all the power I collect using the solar panels I have next to the greenhouse outside. I had a huge rug covering most of the greenhouse, a big fridge to keep whatever food I had in there, along with the water, and a giant couch. A TV with a video console next to the rug. And next to that, I have a speaker that hooks up to the TV. I also have a table and some chairs next to it. I also have my phone charger on top of the table. I do have a phone, but it's nothing really that special. The gang and I work for gave it to me so that I could stay in touch with them. It can only really call and text, but it's all I really need. I also have an iPod that I stole from a dollar store. It's really old and the audio quality is garbage, but it gets the job done. I only have really one band's group, some songs from the one band, and it's Queen. I don't even know who they are. They've been around for, I guess, 70 years, apparently. But, I mean, I like their music, and it's nice to listen to some music while I'm doing work. I do have a little area on the greenhouse where there isn't anything covering, so I can look outside if I ever get bored. The city is really populated, and you couldn't really go a day without being within an inch or two of somebody. The city was filled with neon street signs. The light pollution, along with the actual pollution, makes it virtually impossible to go stargazing. The very few select places that you could actually stargaze are very few and far. In its own way, the city was beautiful. It was like a neon forest that was buzzing with noise. The city that never sleeps, whatever the posters advertise, and it's about the only thing I can agree about it. I collapsed on my couch, began to watch TV, I grabbed some ramen and began to eat it, and then I just kind of dozed off after that. But then I felt the faint buzzing in my pocket, and I checked it. It read, "Boss wants to see you. He's got a job you can't refuse. Meet at the usual location. Make sure nobody's following you." That's how I knew how serious it was. Next morning, I put my usual gear and headed out the door. Out on the floor in the front of the door was an Ethan Speed's card. On the back, it read, "Let's keep in touch, yeah?" Next to those words were this person's number. I had no idea who this was, but I needed to be careful because the boss said I needed to watch my back, so yeah, I need to be careful. The city during the day is very dull and looks like a wasteland. Everything is built the same color of brick gray, and every color that wasn't gray was washed out. At night, the city looked the prettiest with all the neon lights lighting up the sky. The warehouse was located about a mile out of town, and this one was in the middle of nowhere. The building is disguised in an industrial car repair warehouse. As I was making my way to the door, I looked behind me to make sure nobody was following me, and there was nobody, so I still needed to be careful. As I entered the building, I got the whiff of burnt rubber and metal welding in the air. Despite the building being abandoned for almost 10 years, it still retained all the smells of the past. The building is mostly a big open space full of machines that haven't been used for years. Along with this, there are various catwalks, ledges, filling up the high levels of the complex. I went up a flight of stairs and down a catwalk to the boss's office. I entered the room and immediately the smell of cigarettes hit my face. Despite the government's numerous efforts and attempts to get rid of the drug, it still persists almost 100 years later. In the room, there were some couches, some potted plants that were fake. In the center was a table with a desk, a computer, and some other various knickknacks the boss likes to play with on the table. In the middle, sitting on the chair, was none other than the boss himself. He looked like a stereotypical mobster, wearing a nice tux and slacks, a bow tie, and some nice dress shoes. He doesn't wear a hat as he does his hair with some hair product, I don't know what it is. He was tall and slim, but could still beat you up if you wanted to. I don't know his actual name, so I just call him the boss. "Sit down, Marty. I have a drink if you want," said the boss. "No thanks. You know I don't drink. I'm only 15 after all," I said. "You know that in this day and age, drinking restrictions don't mean a damn," said the boss. "I've called you in on a special mission today. If you're able to pull this off, you will be swimming in riches," said the boss. I got intrigued, so I pulled up an officer and got close to him so we can really talk face to face. "You know that company, Azteco? The giant building in the middle of the city," said the boss. "I got some intel from my scout that they got some really important data that the company doesn't want to have leaking. If we can go and get it, we could blackmail them into them giving us a large sum of money. You got one chance, and that's it. They're doing their annual IT check on their servers, so you should describe yourself as one of them and go use the flash drive to steal the data. The data may take some time to download, so try and get it without alerting the guards. You need to do this without getting caught. If you do, you'll enter a rabbit hole too deep to escape," the boss said. The flash drive was about the size of a paperclip and would be easy enough to download some stuff onto. "I'm trusting you on this. You've never failed me before, so don't fail me now," exclaimed the boss. "Got your boss. Don't you worry," I said. I've never been more scared in my life than now. It was evening of the next day when I packed my things and headed into the Aztec building. It was too big to mistake and bright enough to blind most people if they stared at it long enough. As I approached the building, I saw the IT guys walking up the stairs to the building. I noticed one of them slipped off into the bathroom, and I followed him. He was taking a leak, and I decided to slip a sleep stick on his back, and he collapsed like a tree. Took off his clothes, put them over mine, and I shoved his body into a stall and headed out. I put on a graphing mask that's able to mimic the appearance of any person I choose. I put it on, and there was this part of the entry that required some facial recognition. Also, luckily enough, I was about the same height as him, so it all worked out perfectly. I scanned my face and headed up to the server room. The IT guys were already at work, and while they were doing that, I put the flash drive into one of the server towers. Set up to download, and it's going to take about 15 minutes. In that time, I was able to pretend like I was helping a snoop around to see what the company did. Turns out they made some very shady deals in illegal trafficking to make money using drugs. I can see why the boss wanted the data. After the data was finished downloading and the IT guys were done, we headed back to the truck. One of the IT guys needed to use the restroom. "Hey, I'm gonna go use the bathroom real quick," said one of the IT guys. Hey, don't, man. We got a tight schedule and we need to get back right now," I said. "I'm gonna be quick, don't worry. The drive back is like an hour. I'm not waiting that long to take a leak," said the IT guy. I followed him to the bathroom, knocked him out. The other guy with us walked in and saw the two people I knocked out. He gave me a quick blow to the face, making the mask glitch out. I quickly slapped him with a sticker and now I have the whole IT group asleep in the bathroom. I walked out of the bathroom, and one of the guards noticed my glitching face. I blinded him for a split second using my flashlight. I ran away, and the guards sounded the alarm. I began to run and took off my clothes, the clothes I put over mine. I put on my earbuds and began listening to Queen's "Don't Stop Me Now." It felt like it fit the situation perfectly. I climbed up the stairs, and on one of the stairs of the apartment complex, and ran across the roof. I made it to the location the boss specified, and began to run faster towards it. As I was running, a guy came out of nowhere and scared me. I dropped the flashlight and almost fell off the edge. The guy grabbed me and shuffled around for a bit. It looks like he was looking for something. After the shuffling, he gave it back to me. I hit the flashlight and designated the location without the guy looking. He looked confused and didn't know where he was. "Hey, what the heck, man?" I said. "Sorry, dude. I didn't mean to scare you. I was just trying to get your attention, you know?" said the stranger. "I'm the same guy who put the calling card on your doorstep. I wanted to work with you, but you didn't call me back," he said. "I was doing something important and didn't have time to talk to people like you," I said. "Name's Thomas. Thomas C. Debs. Or you can just call me Aves," said Thomas. "Alright, Ace. What's the deal? Or do you want to work with me?" I said. "I heard about you and how good your work is. I wanted to see if I could help you," said Thomas. "Thanks, but I don't need the assistance," I said. Right as I said that, a group of SWAT people came up from behind and surrounded us. The helicopter was shining on us. "God damn it," I exclaimed. The worst that could possibly happen, it happened. I got sent to jail, like actual jail. I'm only 15, I got sent to actual jail. This is any jail, of course. I got sent to the Reef, located in nowhere. Like, the place is called nowhere, and it's actually in the middle of nowhere. The nearest inhabited planet is light years away, and it's basically impossible to reach without a powerful enough vehicle. Prisoners have tried to escape, but they didn't have the right vehicles, and that's because the guards only have the right kinds. And as you enter the prison, you can see the many bodies and ships floating and orbiting around the prison. Me and Thomas went through the checks and were sent to our cells. They took all our stuff and patted us down to make sure we weren't carrying anything. Somehow we were placed in the same cell. "Cell is a prison, huh?" said Thomas. "Yep, never been in prison, and who knows how long we're going to be in here," I said. "Maybe if you didn't distract me, I could have run away and you would have been caught," I screamed out. "Shut your mouth, or I'm going to come in there and do it myself," yelled the prison guard. "Hey, sorry, and don't worry, I've got a plan," said Thomas. "Yeah, sure, whatever," I said. "Is this your first time in prison?" I asked. "Yep, and then let's just see how it goes," said Thomas. The guards yelled that it was time to sleep, so we did. We could have talked and argued all throughout the night, but probably would have got beaten up if we did, so I just shut up. The next morning, they called us for breakfast, and we went as they said. We went through the cafeteria, got our food, and sat down at some random table across the hall. "Hey, you know the food here doesn't look half bad," I said. "That's how they get you. It looks good, but it tastes as bad as you think it smells," Thomas said. I took a bite out of the food, and sure enough, he was right. "Hey, I'm trying to become friends with the gang here, the spiders," Thomas said. "Yeah, well, good luck. If you think that's going to work out, then you must be crazy," I said. I guess my little pep talk didn't mean anything, because he even started talking to them. The weird part about this whole situation, though, was how he seemed to know everything that was going on. Later in the afternoon, we were in the quad area, where we were given time to hang outside. "Hey, Marty, I've got a plan to get us out of here," exclaimed Thomas. "Jesus, already? I thought they're going to throw you out on the sidewalk, but nah," I said. "The spider said he could help us in return for something," said Thomas. "Well, what does he need?" I asked. "You're going to need to meet him face-to-face first before you get into any more details," said Thomas. "We're going to meet him tomorrow, at the same time as now," he said. We went back to our cells for the rest of the day, and I decided to try to get to know each other more. "Hey, so we're pretty much stuck here for the next couple of days, so why don't we try to get to know each other?" I said. "Yeah, why not? How was your childhood?" Thomas asked. "Well, I mean, I didn't know my parents. My earliest memories were being dropped off as a baby in an alley on the moon of Titan. I grew up there for about 5 years until I stowed away and came to Kismet. So, what about you?" I asked. With a clear look of confusion and shock, Thomas answered. "I grew up with my mom and dad. My dad was never really around that often. He was always at work, and I never spent much time with him. My mom was the world to me. She would tell me jokes, and we would laugh, and she was the best," Thomas said. "Was?" I asked. "She died. My dad came home one day and met her, and I'm not sure why he did. After that, I ran away from home and began to live on my own," said Thomas. "Damn, sorry about that, man. I guess we both have issues, you know," I said. "Yeah, huh," he muttered out. He was looking at a locket with a picture of his mom. He would constantly look at it as if the picture of her was just going to jump out. It seems as if every time he opened it, he tried to make sure everything was okay and nothing was broken. "So I bet you're wondering about my eye," I said. Not really, but sure, what the heck," Thomas said. "I made a bet with somebody that I trusted. I won, but he got upset and nearly killed me. He took my eye with him, but in turn I took his life. It seemed only fair. Took his gun, killed him with it. That was the first time I ever trusted somebody, and the last time I ever did. And look where it got me. That good guy named Kristen, you know? For, like, all the blood when I killed somebody," I said.
Well, I mean, I need my sniper in Martha after my mom taught me so. I also remember winning my first poker match. It was the only thing my dad was proud of, Thomas said. I also had a dog once. I found a Titan, and I took it with me when I left. I said, "I named it Scrappy after the fact that he tried to eat everything and anything he could find. It was the only thing I loved, and someone killed him. Shows you how bad life could be," I said. We went to sleep, feeling somewhat more comfortable with each other. I'm starting to trust Thomas, and you know what happened the last time I trusted somebody. It was the next day in the afternoon when we got the signal to go and talk to the spider. We entered a dark labyrinth and ended up in a small room with a throne. I have no clue how the prison guards don't know about this. On the throne was some kind of alien species. He was big with stubby legs and two arms on each side. He had three fingers on each hand. He had a head the shape of one was a hammerhead shark. It had four eyes. Next to him were some guards. I looked at they were the same species, but more skinny. They had weird spikes on their back and had spears. Well, well, well. Look who we have here. Is this Thomas and Marty? A little bird told me that you two want to escape prison. I could help you, but I need something in return. I need ether, said the spider. Ether? What's that? I asked. It's a kind of stimulant to our species, like what you guys call drugs, the spider said. You want me to sneak drugs into a prison? I said. Yes. Now, do you want out or not? He asked. The next day, I sent a letter to my boss. He knew I was in prison, and he wanted me to get out just as much as I did. And I asked him if he said some ether. Apparently, it's slightly radioactive and can be detected by the scanner the jail has. Thankfully, the boss was able to use a container that was able to block out the radiation and was able to get a clear sample of it so it looked like water. I was only allowed one gift outside per year, and this was the only gift I was intending, and so I didn't really mind. Just like that, the next day, I received a sample of ether to give to the spider. It was the afternoon of the day I got it when we went to go visit the spider. I can already smell it from here. Give it to me, the spider exclaimed. I tossed him the bottle, and he was satisfied. All right, get ready to break out tomorrow morning at the crack of dawn, he said. It was a crack of dawn, like he just said, when we heard tapping on the jail cell. This is one of his goons coming to get us. He opened the jail cell and let us out to our stuff. We got our stuff and left the prison. The goon then left us in front of the jail and left us. Hey, what gives? You didn't help us escape, I yelled. We did, but we only got you. But you're on your own when it comes to leaving, said the spider's goon. He began to laugh and disappeared into thin air, like smoke. The alarms went off and we hid in a nearby porta potty. I noticed some strange tattoos on his back when we were getting changed and getting into our outfits. It slightly resembles the spider symbol we saw back there. We quickly put our gear on and grabbed our guns. We came running out and started shooting at any guards that came in our way. One of the SWAT ships we stole went one of the SWAT ships and went off to Mars. We made sure that there was no way they could track us. I feel like we're home free, if only I knew what the horrors were ahead. We were home free, and we were talking the whole time. We didn't have any sort of maps, so we were just arguing about the way back. She screamed out of nowhere, saying that there was a guard behind me. I turned around. Suddenly, I felt like something was placed on my back, and that's when I knew there's something more to Thomas than what I thought. We were some kind of floating island in space. My hands were tied behind my back, and weapons were taken off of me. He covered my one good eye with an eye patch, since he didn't need to cover the other. He took off the eye patch and just stared at me. You're so stupid, Thomas said. Man, I should've just seen this coming. I don't know why I still trust people, I said. Yeah, you should've, he said. You know, you don't seem like half a bad guy, I said. Yeah, lots of people tell me that before they, you know, die, he said. My mom didn't die to my dad. I killed her. You know why I've got a connection with the gang? I'm in it. I've always been with them. I've been in prison before. When I found out that you had a flash drive, I knew I could get the money to get my gang to leave. Everything was for the gang, Thomas said. Yeah, I kind of got the message after I saw a glimpse of the tattoo when you were changing, I said. He got close enough for me to headbutt him. I got his nose to slightly break and his nose started to bleed. He then proceeded to pick up Crimson and wipe off the blood on his nose with it. He ran up the locker, revealing he had the flash drive the whole time. He probably switched it with a fake one back there. Any last words, he asked. How's your mother? I said. It looked as if his face was cracked and he was broken. A single tear went down his eyes. He looked like a child who was broken. One that was bullied and told what to do. Little did he know that those issues would end up in some bad problems with, especially his mom dying. He picked up the gun. You know, when you told me that you stole his gun from the man who betrayed you and killed him with it, I thought it was funny. You know, I guess you never expected this to happen. And now, you know, it kind of sucks that you have to get wrapped up in this situation. And the Crimson is, you know, the tides are turned with it. As an old friend once told me, the game was rigged from the start, he said. He then pulled the trigger, and the last thing I remember was a flash. I thought I was dead, and I thought he got away with it. You know what I have to say to that? It truly was rigged, just not in the way he thought. From there, I ended up in a hospital where I miraculously lived. I was able to testify against my actions, and somehow they were able to distinguish his blood between mine, and they found that he was the infamous Ace of Spades, who has been on the run for years. I was able to get off my sentence from prison, and I'm under intense house arrest. The government is constantly on me, but I've been pretty good about it. 10 years have passed, and nobody knows where he is. But it doesn't matter. The journey was insane, and I will never forget it. However, kismet means destiny, and in a sense, it was my destiny, and it's one I won't forget.